Excellent. So, I have kind of a fun talk today. You guys have probably been hearing a lot about the ALM features. If you guys went to the keynote, you saw Jason speak a little bit about the next version of Visual Studio. Cameron's foundational session touched on the ALM features that we're planning on rolling out. But you guys are probably wondering, well, what about the next version? You probably didn't see too much of the IDE itself. And it took a lot of convincing for me to even get this talk. A lot of people are like, no, 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 you can't show off what we have. And I'm like, guys, come on. I really want to at least get some feedback, get some early preview on what we're showing off. So I have a very, very early build of the next version of Visual Studio that I'm going to be showing off today. And most of my demos, did you like that clap? And most of my demo is going to be around the IDE itself and the improvements that we've made to the IDE. My name is Weston Hutchins. I've been at Microsoft for about 5 years now, working on Visual Studio for about 5 years. Started out on the Visual Studio Express keys and then worked my way up to the Visual Studio IDE platform team, which is just a fancy way for saying we're the team that makes Visual Studio look good. We're primarily responsible for the look and feel of VS. So I was telling these guys yesterday, if you guys like the look and feel, I'll be available for pictures afterwards. If not, you guys can throw some rotten vegetables if you hate the blue theme. There is a way to change the blue theme, by the way. I'll show you guys that in the demo. The blue theme was good. You liked it. So, we're going to be talking about vNext today. First, a little background story. This is a picture of a mess. And it's also a picture of Al Gore's office. Funny enough, this actually looks a lot like my office. And when I saw this picture, I was like, oh, yeah, that's how he works too. Fantastic. But does this look like anyone else's office in the audience? Looks like yours? Yeah. You know, and they asked him, they said, Al, you know, you're a vice president. Look at all this clutter you have in there. It's everywhere. Why don't you clean it up? Why don't you organize it? And he said, absolutely not. This is exactly how I want everything to be. This is organized for me. I know where everything is. And if you were put inside this office and said, hey, you know, he's big into environmental policy, environmental activist. If you said, all right, you're in here. I want you to create a report on environmental policy, and you have about 24 hours to do it. Everything you need is in this office. Go. Well, what would you probably do? You'd freak out. Pull your hair out. You'd probably just throw everything on the floor and pull up Wikipedia and start typing it in. And well, why is that? Why does this work for him and not for you? Well, the main reason is that it's his mess. It's his clutter. He put everything where it's supposed to be. And how does this relate to Visual Studio? Well, if you've used Visual Studio, which I'm sure most of you guys have, it can get cluttered at times. I took this screenshot off of my machine as I was stepping through a project in debugging. It's not a doctored. I might have shrunk it down a little bit, but this is what my screen looked like when I was stepping through an application. It's busy, isn't it? There's a lot of stuff going on. Look how many rows of toolbars I have up there for, I have no idea what half of those buttons do. And what we end up with is an environment that's just daunting, especially for somebody coming to Visual Studio for the very first time. This looks overwhelming. If I saw this and said, this is what I'm going to have to learn in the next week, next 2 weeks, I'd run away screaming. There's no way I could figure this out. And what we really ended up with is an IDE where you can do everything about 20 different ways. VS is really good at adding, but we're not very good at taking away from release to release. And so for this next release, we really wanted to try to figure out how we could streamline the environment. I mean, let's take a specific example that you guys all know, should all know, find. So this might not be in historical timeline order, but I'm just going to give you some examples of the different ways you can find something in the product. So we start off with Quick Find because, you know, some PM, myself, probably sat there and said, hey, we need a great way for you guys to search through your entire solution for a particular string, line of code, et cetera. And so we're going to build this window called Quick Find. I don't actually know why they called it Quick Find instead of just Find. I guess they figured, you know, it'd be a lot faster than Slow Find or something like that. I don't know what the rationale for that was. And then we said, well, OK, that's great. You can step through individual lines of code, and it'll open files as you go through them. But what we really want is a way to persist those in a separate tool window that I can, you know, save around and go and click through those results and open up new files. So what we end up with is, all right, well, now we have this find in files, and we add to the combo box dropdown. And then we said, well, It's great, but no one finds it. No one knows where it is. Control F is way too hard to remember, so we're going to put it up in the toolbar. And we're going to give you a combo box that allows you to find and also enter in commands. If you guys haven't seen the command mode, I don't know if they demo this in the tips and tricks, but you can enter in commands into this find combo box. And so now that it's discoverable, we said, well, you know, I don't want to go all the way up to the toolbar. I just want to be able to search in my editor as soon as I start typing. And so we created incremental find. This is Control I for those that haven't used it before. And then we said, all right, well, find is a little too broad. It's hard for me to scope down what it is I really want. So I'm going to create a tool window called find symbol that just looks over symbols in your product. You know, methods, properties, classes, that's what I'm looking for. But hey, it's not fast enough. We need something a little faster. So in this last version, we created Navigate to, which is the fastest way to search over all of your symbols in your product. And what we end up with, well, like I said, is about 20 different ways to do the same thing inside VS. Now, it's not hard to see how we got to this state. But correcting this is a challenge. These are just a few examples. I haven't even talked about replace yet. We have just as many ways to do that as well. And it's really hard to take away, too. I mean, we end up if we ever take away a feature, if I was to take away that little find and files combo box up there, I guarantee about half of you guys would start throwing stones at me and telling me to put it back because I use it every day. I don't like the other ones. I don't like the dialogue. It jumps around too much. It goes off my screen. I lose it. So that was part of the challenge for this next release is how can we start to consolidate some of these features into a smaller package, just streamlining your environment a bit more. So we tackled two big pillars. And that's basically going to be the focus of my demos. I don't have a whole lot of slides. But it's going to be broken down into what I've called simpler and faster. And simpler is all about making you use less tool windows inside the IDE, reducing the amount of buttons that you guys have to use on a day-to-day basis. It's not just about removing things. It's more just about setting ourselves up to consolidate your UI space so that you can focus on your code as opposed to jumping through hoops with different windows. And then the last part is faster. You guys think VS is lightning fast? Who thinks VS is lightning fast? Medium fast? Get a cup of coffee every time I have to compile fast? Yeah, that fast? All right, yeah. No, we know. We've been working pretty hard on the performance of the next version. I think you guys will like some of the improvements you'll see. And at the end of the day, hopefully we'll take you from a frustrated programmer to a happy programmer. You know, funny story about these pictures. I think I just typed in like sad programmer and happy programmer, and it gave me a guy working on a Mac with a There Will Be Blood poster behind it. And then a happy programmer. I know I always dress in my finest business attire, sit on the floor, and shoot my hands up every time I get my code to compile. I mean, who doesn't do that? All right. So demo time. So the first big thing that I'm going to show you is the new look and feel for vNext. Are you guys ready? Yeah. Woo! So we took all of the colors of the old icon and we put them inside the screen. You guys like that, right? What's not to like? It's fun what you can do with a little registry hacking inside Visual Studio. I should probably do a talk just on that. My devs would probably kill me, though. They don't know what unsupported means. All right. Let's go back to Visual Studio. Before I begin, I just wanted to say something. How many of you guys have used the Pro Power Tools before? Excellent. About half of you. What I'm going to show today should look very familiar. A lot of the functionality that we released in the Pro Power Tools was actually a way for us to get early feedback on what you guys liked and didn't like. And we've been using this process for a few of our extensions now. A lot of the ideas are about consolidating tool windows. And so if you've used Solution Explorer, if you've used the Tableau, you'll see some of the ideas. A lot of this should start to look very familiar to you. So simple application. You guys have probably seen this before. If you've been to some Tips and Tricks talks, we use this Blackjack application a lot. It really is just a simple app designed to work through some code and show off the IDE. This is Visual Studio 2010. It's not vNext. vNext is not green. This was using the theme extension that's available on the gallery. If you don't like the blue theme of Visual Studio, you can always go and change it. I'm going to be demoing something side by side, so I just wanted a way to distinguish between the two. And let's go ahead and run this application. Now, the scenario is this, just to set a picture. I'm a developer. I've inherited this code base, and there's a bug in this application. See if you guys can find the bug. It shouldn't be that hard to find. So I place a bet, and I go and deal. Does anyone see it already? This is blackjack. You can see the cards, yes. If Vegas played like this, I'd actually make money on this game. And funny enough, I just lost 21. Fantastic. All right. So here's my app. That's my scenario. I have to go fix a bug in this application. And I'm going to go ahead and open this in shiny new vNext. So I'm going to close this. And normally, when you go and upgrade a solution, it looks the same, by the way. It's not going to look very different yet. So normally, when you go and open an application in the next version of Visual Studio, you get the project upgrade wizard. And once you open it in that, it's impossible to open up the project file in previous versions of Visual Studio. But for vNext, once I go and open up this file, it just opens inside VS. Project round tripping will be fully supported between this version and Visual Studio 2010. You guys like that? Just to show that it's not smoke and mirrors, I'm actually going to open up and say, this is a comment from vNext. We'll go ahead and close this, reopen it inside VS 2010. There's my file. Let's see if it shows up. There it is. There's a comment from vNext. So as you can see, this makes it really easy for your company to start adopting Visual Studio vNext. You can put a few developers on it as prototype, start to build out some of your code base, and then when you're ready, when your company is ready, you can very easily migrate people over to the next version of Visual Studio without breaking your code for people that are on VS 2010. Great. All right, so let's go ahead and open this back up once again in vNext. All right, so we'll pull open a few files, make it interesting. The first thing that might be that you guys might notice right away is the toolbar up here. There's not as many buttons as there used to be, is there? And it fits on one row, which is always great for me. Vertical screen real estate is something that, you know, I cherish, especially when I'm demoing on, you know, 720 vertical pixels. It's like demoing on a netbook up here. So anything I can get to save real estate is great. What we did in the last version was we went and did a lot of usability studies, and we figured out what commands people were using. And we wanted to prioritize those and put those directly in front of the user and get rid of the ones that people weren't using. We actually did a usability study. It's a funny story. This one participant, we asked them to do a few different tasks. And we said, navigate through a bunch of your code files, and okay, navigate back to the one you were on two files ago. And he looks at the toolbar, and he starts hovering over all the individual buttons. And he sighs and he looks back at us. He goes, oh, I'm sorry you guys took away this feature. Visual Studio 2008 had this fantastic feature called Navigate Back that you just click to go back between files. And I'm sitting there and I'm cringing because he's actually hovering over the button and like ready to click it, but he doesn't see it because it's lost in the sea of other buttons that are on his toolbar. And so we realized that we needed to do something to try to clear it up. So what we've done is prioritize the most used commands, put them in the front of the toolbar, and moved everything to the overflow. So for all of you that are getting ready to sharpen your pitchforks and tell me, no, you took away my favorite button. I have to have that guy. Well, fear not. It's not gone. It's just hidden. So if I pull open this dropdown, I'm able to get back all the old buttons that I had before. I personally love the start page. It's just the way that I go back and add my recent projects. So I'm going to go ahead and add that back. For those that want to get the Find and Files combo box back in there, even though we're trying to move on from that, if you want it back, click the Go to Find combo, and it'll show up there in your toolbar. And we'll also upgrade and import settings from the previous version of Visual Studio, so from VS 2010 up to vNext. If you guys have menu and toolbar customizations, we will import those directly into vNext. Okay. Now, that's a little overview of the environment. What I want to focus now is on three different areas. The first is going to be code understanding. The second is going to be search. And then the second one's going to be document management, and the last one's going to be search. But the first search that I want to jump into is this little guy up here that you guys are probably wondering what he does. Unfortunately, it's a little broken on this build. It's been crashing a lot. Like I said, these are very, very early bits, so I'm going to try not to crash. And I'm going to tee us into a box that I have over back in Redmond. And let me set this up a little bit. So we have a lot of commands inside Visual Studio. Look how long these menus are. You know, we've done some work to simplify the toolbars, but there's still a lot of stuff inside VS. And so one of the principles was, how can we integrate search to make it much easier to filter out long lists of data? Oftentimes, you know what it is you want to execute, but you have to go and find it. And you have to go and scroll through menus. And in Solution Explorer, you have to go and drill down through your entire solution to find the file that you want. Toolbox, you have to do the same thing. There's a large amount of controls, and you have to go and scroll down that list. What if we could find a way where all you had to do was type in what you want, and it went and executed that command? And so we started looking at the Windows search box in the Start menu and trying to bring that power into Visual Studio. So now, if I want to create a new project in VS 2010, what I'd have to do is hit File and New, and I start moving over, and I get to the end, and I accidentally do that. How many people have done that before? I've done it all the time, and it drives me nuts. In fact, I've trained myself not even to use this menu. I just hit this toolbar button for Create a New Project. What if it didn't matter where that menu was? What if you could just type in New Project, and this search box went over all of Visual Studio menus, open it up, I hit Enter, and it opens by itself? What if I wanted to open up, I wanted to start debugging, or let's say I wanted to attach to process. Instead of finding it in the menus, all I have to do is type in Attach. It searches over my menus, and there it is, Attach to Process. I hit Enter, and it opens up the dialog. And so what you end up with is this great way of shortcutting your commands. You don't need to know where any of the keyboard what any of the keyboard shortcuts are. I mean, they're certainly there available to you. If I go back open, let's take a look at New Project again. We'll actually show you the keyboard shortcuts for the next time you want to go and use these, so you can start to build up this knowledge base of keyboard shortcuts. But honestly, you don't have to use these at all. You just type in what you want, press Enter, and go there. And we're going to search more than just menus. We actually search options as well. What if I want to change the font in my editor? Well, how about just typing font, pressing Enter, and it opens up the dialog and directly launches me to that page. Pretty cool, right? What about add class? Sure. If I'm selected on a project, it should search. There I go, project add class, hit Enter, and it opens up that dialog. Now, we had this in the Pro Power Tools extension under Quick Access, but what we did for Tools Options was we actually gave you the ability to export keywords so that we could search the right side of that pane. Because that is dynamic content, it's user-supplied, we don't really have a good window into getting the types of information that you can surface there, so we allow Options page to surface keywords. So if I want to change the RSS feed on my Start page, I just type in RSS, and you notice that it matches the keyword RSS feed. I click this, it opens that options page, and I'm able to configure my start page news channel right there. So that's definitely an addition that we have over Quick Access and the Pro Power Tools. And where we want to take this is, you know, right now we have support for menus and commands, options, and open documents, so you can jump between open documents. We really want to start adding more providers to this. This is a completely extensible system. You guys can add local providers or online providers. And we're trying to brainstorm some cool scenarios. I mean, what if you were just able to type in add class, and instead of even launching the dialog, it just added the class file to your project, it highlighted it in rename mode, you type in what you want, press enter, and there it is. That's all you need. What if you wanted to add a project to project reference, and all you had to do is type the name of the project, press enter, and it was added? You didn't have to open up the add reference dialog at all. But a lot of you guys would probably like that. So that's kind of where we want to take this search paradigm of quick shortcutting across Visual Studio. All right, so let's go back to this application. And like I said, I'm a new developer. I've inherited a code base. I want to be able to start understanding my code. And so the way I do this in the past is I probably, you know, open up a few files. Let's expand these out just to make it a little more interesting. So I'd probably start opening up a bunch of files, you know, browsing around my Solution Explorer. I'd probably start using, some of the code understanding features that we have, like call hierarchy. If I want to go and view the call hierarchy, I could open this up and start to build up this call graph for where this thing gets called and what calls are made to it. I could probably also use find all references. So if I want to click on this, it searches over my entire solution and tells me where it's been referenced. There's the class view, there's the object browser. I use all these tools in my day-to-day process to build up this model of what my solution starts to look like. The architecture tools is another one as well. But what if you could do all of that from inside Solution Explorer? What if that was the tool window that you used to do a lot of this code understanding? You didn't have to open up all these other tool windows to get that done. Well, this is the new version of Solution Explorer. It's completely rewritten in managed code. And what it allows you to do is, just like the old one, you can open up projects and you can drill down into files. But now I can open it up and drill down into the contents of those files to view not only the types, but the members within those types as well. And what I can do, great. And what I can do is say, all right, well, here's my dealer play. And before, if I want to find all references for that, what if I just click this little button over here and I say is used by, which is our new terminology for find references, and those display directly inside Solution Explorer. Now, what we want to do is optimize this for the vertical real estate, so we're still working on the formatting. The design that I was coming up with is actually grouping everything by file and then showing the actual lines of code below that, so hopefully you'll see that in a future version. What if I wanted to go and view the call hierarchy? Well, instead of using the call hierarchy window, I can do that directly from Solution Explorer. I can say, all right, well, who calls this method? Great, and now I can start browsing around my solution. I can click this guy and see who calls him, which I guess it's no one. Some bugs in here, we'll get them. But I can then pivot on him and say, all right, well, what calls come into get sum of hand? And now I can start using this for browsing around my code and getting an understanding without having to open up all these other tool windows. To get back, super easy. I just hit the back button a few times, or I can hit home, and it'll take me back to my full solution. Now, one of the other nice things is that we've integrated search directly into Solution Explorer as well. So this is using Navigate 2. If you guys have used Navigate 2, it's Control Comma. It's great for being able to search over your entire solution, but it is yet another dialog that you have to open up. We've integrated search in here, and the search box is kind of jumping around. It's definitely an issue that we're looking at. There we go. But what if I wanted to just type in the name of a class? So I type in hand, because I know I have a hand class somewhere in here. And it filters my tree to just the results that I want. And I'm able to get all of my search results directly inside Solution Explorer. Now, since we're using Navigate 2, we're actually using Navigate 2 on the back end for the providers. We also support some fuzzy search capabilities. So for blackjack hand, I can either type out blackjack hand, or I can just type in BJH for camel casing, and we'll filter it down to just the camel case version of that file. Now, before I leave this, I did want to show some other small but very welcome features for Solution Explorer. One of them is this button up here called Collapse All. We know you guys have been asking for that for a while. I'm proud to say that we will have that in the next version. The second is that you have all these image files, and in the past, you had to open them up. Now you can just hover over the image, and we'll actually show a dynamic preview of what all these images are. And the last little thing, which is probably my favorite, is every time you go and rename a file, we select the entire file name. But now, in vNext, we'll just select the name of the file. You can type in what you want. So we'll call this test guy, Hopefully I didn't break everything in my application now. So let's rename this back to program. It's the small stuff that counts, and that was one that I pushed hard for. So we got that, and that should be a welcome addition to Solution Explorer. Okay, great. So now that I've browsed around my solution a little bit, you end up with something, that looks busy. In terms of the number of documents you have open. I mean, I often end up with, 20 documents open in my tab. Well, I get frustrated. I end up hitting window, close all documents to go back to a known state. I asked an MVP one time how many documents he had open before he closes them all. He said he has 100. I can't imagine working with 100 documents inside Visual Studio using this overflow button or the window menu. So we took a long look at trying to let people figure out what were the files that you actually care about and how we can make those a little bit easier for you to get to them. So the first feature that I want to show off is the ability to pin tabs. And so now I can start going and pinning a few of these tabs. And what happens is they all go to the left-hand side of my tab well. They'll wrap if I fill up this row up here. But now I have a spatially consistent location to access all the files that I care about. All new files will be opened up off to the right-hand side. Some of them will go into the overflow, but all the files that I actually need will still be in the pinned area. And in the future, we're going to be adding a close all but pinned tab. We have this in the Pro Power Tools extension. We don't have this yet, but we will be having a close all but pinned so that you can clear up the other documents that you have and still keep the pin files that you have around. But we also wanted to take better advantage of multimon. So I'm gonna try to simulate a multimon. We'll see if it works. It's gonna be kind of a weird demo just based off of the resolution I have. Let me close this guy over here. So in VS 2010, we kind of put our foot in the water for multimon. We allowed you to drag off a single document. And that was a good start. You could now have code files over on other monitors. But the natural question that everyone asked was, well, what about everything else? What about my other files? What about my other tool windows? Can I start to create rafts of these? And you couldn't in Visual Studio 2010, but you can in Visual Studio vNext. So if I want to start creating these multiple rafts of documents, all I have to do is control click, drag them out, and since I already have a window open, I can create that. And now I have multiple documents all over nested together on a single monitor with complete support for minimizing, maximizing. And what's nice about this is since these are independent windows, I actually can get the Windows arrow preview for all of my floating documents. And what always bugged me before was that I would always work with, you know, MSDN on another monitor. It was over here. And every time I clicked to a code file in my main Visual Studio instance, all of my windows would pop forward. No more. They stay behind where they should be, and then you bring them to the front when you need them. We'll have some commands that help you easily bring back all of your windows and minimize all windows. So hopefully that should improve how you guys interact with multiple monitors inside Visual Studio vNext. But one other cool feature that I haven't shown yet is, what if I have a large solution, I have a lot of files, and I want to use my left monitor for this particular project and my right monitor for this project? Well, I can start to drag those files off, but wouldn't it be great if I could actually create another instance of Solution Explorer? Well, now you can. If you select a node and select New View, you can actually create another instance of Solution Explorer, drag it off, and in effect have two instances of Visual Studio running at the same time. It's not quite two instances, but it's very close enough for the purposes of this demo. And to get back, if I want to get back to my main VS instance, all I need to do is drag these back, or a little tip and trick, I don't know if they cover this in the talk, if you control double click, everything will go back into your main VS instance. A lot of people have asked about that. We changed it. It used to be double click. Now that maximizes, control double click will get you back to where you need to be. But you might be saying, all right, that's great. I still have a lot of files on my screen, though. There's still a lot of documents that I have opened. Every time I start to do an F12 or go to def, or every time I start to debug through a session. So let's go through a debugging session that I would normally do for this particular project. So I want to figure out where this is breaking. I'm going to launch in debug mode. I know that it's happening after deal. So I'm going to use IntelliTrace to break all. And then I'm going to click the deal button to place a breakpoint somewhere around here. So I know it's in this method. That's where I'm starting. It happened after that. Let's go ahead and continue debugging, and I'll get to another iteration. So we'll stand dealer one again. My luck is poor. All right. So this is a typical debugging scenario. I'm in here, and I start to step into my code. So we'll step over a few of the other ones. But now I'm like, OK, well, game.current player place bet. It's probably not in there, but let's just double check. I step into that. No, it's not what it was. I go back out. Show bank value. No, it doesn't look like it either. And I start stepping through all of my code. Set up game and play. Yeah, that looks interesting. Let me go here. No, it just looks like it's enabling buttons, so I step back out. Game.deal new game. Well, that's interesting. Let's take a look at a deck. And now I start opening up a deck file. And what you end up with is just a lot of files being open. And where this bug actually is, after I start going through a bunch of these different files, is, all right, well, I'm stepping through and I say, oh, set the dealer's second card to be facing down. Oh, that looks to be true. Pretty simple bug. If I set this to false, that looks to be it. That's my bug. Let's continue debugging just to make sure. There it is. My blackjack now behaves as it should. So that was a pretty easy bug to fix, but notice after my debugging session's done, look at all the files I have open. I have a ton of them. And I have to go and individually clear these out with the other code files that I care about. So let's take a look at what this might look like in vNext. So I'm going to close everything again. I think I started with my blackjack form, so I'll leave that one open. And I'm going to introduce you guys to a new feature that I'm really excited about. It's called Preview Tab. And you guys can probably guess what it does. It allows you to preview files before you actually need them. So let's step through the debugging session one more time. My breakpoints should still be set on that deal method. So we'll place a bet, we'll deal, and we broke into it. Now, when I start jumping through the code, you notice that the file is open up in this little blue tab off to the right-hand side. This is a preview tab, and it's a reusable area where we'll open files until you tell us that you actually need these files. You can do two things. You can either manually promote the file by clicking this button, or you can do some destructive operation that tells us that you care about, like edit the file. If you edit it, we'll automatically promote it. So now let's go through a debugging session with the preview tab. I'll do the same sorts of things. I'll step into this code. OK, it's open in player.cs, but we know this is not the method that I want. Show bank value. No, it wasn't in there as well. We'll go down, and we'll get to game.dealNewGame. I know it's in here. My deck file, I'm able to jump into this file. And once again, they're all being opened up in this preview tab and not opened up in your main tab well. When I get down to my bug, so let's open up the card file just to show that we can jump into a few more files, and they all open up in this particular preview tab location. But when I get down to my bug and I go and fix it, fix the bug, everything should be running, and I exit my debugging session, you'll notice that I only have the files that I cared about. And if I hadn't opened these other two files, I would really just have the file that I fixed the bug in. And so now we've built this preview experience where you can only focus on the files that you want. And it works for more than just debugging scenarios. It works for GoToDef as well. So if I wanted to press F12 on this method, he'll open up in the preview tab as well. And so we want to build this experience where you can start to preview things inside Solution Explorer. So if I want to preview player.cs, I click here. That opens up there. This is all single clicking. And I'm able to start pivoting on references. So if I want to search for all of the different references, it will open up files that are already open, or it'll use the preview tab to open up the results that I'm not sure that I care about. And then once I make a particular edit to this application, it will go ahead and promote that tab over to my main tab well. So we really hope that this preview feature will help you guys declutter your tab well and only focus on the files that you care about. Cool stuff. Do you guys like that? All right. So now I've fixed my application. I'm well on my way to Vegas. I'm going to be a blackjack pro. But there's one problem is I have no money. I'm poor. I'm broke. So what I'm going to do is add some functionality to this. I'm going to add a simple stock price getter to this form over here. And I'm going to demonstrate some of the other new features we have for that make development a lot easier. So actually, let me keep Solution Explorer open because I'm going to be using it. And what we'll need is we'll need a text box, we'll need a button, and we'll need a label to display the results. In the past, I would always have to scroll through my entire toolbox in order to find the control that I wanted, but not anymore. All I need to do is type in the name of the control that I want. We'll filter the list, and you can easily and quickly drag off the controls that you guys want. So we'll name this guy. We'll bring up the properties menu. We'll name this guy text stock. This is a stock symbol. And now I need a button, so I just type in button. I filter the list automatically, and it's really easy to find the controls that I want. So we'll keep this guy button one, but we'll change the text to get price. And I also need a label to display my results. So once again, this is just demonstrating how we've integrated search into the product in more tool windows so that you guys don't need to scroll through long lists of data. So we're working on adding search to other different areas. Right now we have Toolbox, we have the IDE, we have Solution Explorer, and we have Error List, which I'll show you guys in a minute. Properties window is definitely something that's on our list. The WPF properties support search, but not the WinForms one yet, but it's something we are talking to them about. All right, so that's the price. And we'll clear the text since there's not going to be anything to display there. All right. So let's go and enter in this method handler. Now I'm set up. I'm ready to go. I can go and start adding my functionality. So what I want to do is add a new project to this. Normally, I would use Quick Access up there, but it's crashing on this machine. So I'll just use the old-fashioned way. And we'll call this guy StockQuote. It's just a simple class library. Renaming, once again, showing off the amazing rename capabilities that you don't have to select the extension. Makes it nice and easy. And we have this class called StockQuote, and I want to start building out my functionality. So to make it easy, I'm really just going to add a static method to this guy. We'll say, he'll return a double because I want to get the stock price. But let's see, static double, get stock price. And I'll take a string parameter that's going to be my symbol. All right. And we'll just declare a variable so that we can make VS nice and happy. Oops. All right. So we should be good here. Now we need to start adding our functionality. And I've done most of this through code snippets just to make it a lot easier. You guys probably don't want to sit through a lot of code. So I'm going to start typing in some of the code snippets. This is just the URL that I need to go and get the stock price. And then I need to go and build up a web request for it as well. Oops, there we go. So what I want is an HTTP web request object. All right. Now, none of these symbols resolve. And normally, what I do in the past is use control dot to go and add these. But I wanted to show you guys. The old-fashioned way of using the add reference dialog to do this. Now, most of you guys are probably cringing right now because you know as soon as I click on this button, you guys are going to have to go get a cup of coffee. But in the next version, look at that. It loads instantly. So one of the features that we've done is index all of the assemblies that you guys need to get into your project, and we've made add reference open lightning quick. We've not only done that, but we've added search capability as well. So you can just type in the name of your assembly, filters down, hit add, close, and my assembly is added to my application. I'm able to go and add my using statement, and there you go, the new add reference dialog in Visual Studio VNext. Certainly, they were asking about some extra feature enhancements about actually being able to resolve directly in the editor and add those for you. The control dot will do that for most of the time, but if you ever need to do some more advanced reference sorting, you'll still need to use the add reference dialog for that. But most of the time, I'll show you real quickly, you can use control dot for most of the stuff. Right now, I think it will go to the assembly, the framework libraries. I'm not sure. I'll have to follow up with you on that question. All right, so I'm going to add just the rest of this through code snippets, and we'll use control dot through the rest of this. I have a new method called parse quote, and basically what's going on here is it's pretty simple. All I'm doing is retrieving a web request object, going out to Yahoo, it's taking in the parameter for a symbol, and I'm parsing that quote and returning it in price. So there's my stock quote class, pretty quick and simple. Now I need to go back and get to my button handler, the form that I started before. I know I can click one of these buttons and get back to it. I think it's under blackjackform.cs. But what I wanted to show off to get back to that is the new quick find experience that we have. So I mentioned that we have a lot of different ways to find in the product. Unfortunately, we are adding yet another one. But I'm hoping that this is a streamlined experience that actually combines a lot of the functionality from incremental search, from quick find, and quick replace into a single lightweight window. So if I press Control F, you'll notice this little adornment that pops up in the upper right-hand corner of my editor. And as I start typing text, instead of having to press Enter, it automatically starts highlighting the results in my method or in my class, and I'm able to jump between those. And what's nice about this is, first, it's not very intrusive. It's always in the upper right-hand corner. It doesn't jump off of screen or it doesn't grow. I don't know how many of you guys love that bug where Visual Studio Final Files just started growing every single time you used it. Yeah, that was my team. I apologize for that one. But what's great about this is you can actually start using regular expressions as well, and not just the old POSIX-style regular expressions. The new version of QuickFind supports fully .NET regular expression syntax. So if I want to search for, let's say I want to search for all the numbers in my project, I can just start typing slash D, and it'll get all the digits for me. But we hope that this modern update to .NET regular expressions is a welcome improvement. You guys have been asking for this for a long time. We're really happy to be able to give this to you guys in VNext. All right, so I have button one. I know it's somewhere. I'm going to search my entire solution for button one. Hit enter. It takes me there. And it should be pretty easy to hook this up. I have my label that I need. And we'll go ahead and set the text of the label to the stock value that I had before. So we'll call it stock quote. Actually, before that, I need to add a project reference. So what I'll do is I'll open up the add reference dialog, click on solution. There's my project to project reference. Look how quick and easy that was. So nice. Now I'll add stock quote. It's a static class. So we'll say get stock price. And I'll pass in whatever we have in our text box. Oops. And we'll convert that to a string and give it back. All right. Cross your fingers. We'll wire this up, see if it works. See good old Microsoft stock price. What do you guys think it's going to be? I actually don't know. I haven't checked in a while. 24.6. There we go. All right. Once it hits 26, I can book my trip to Vegas. Gonna be waiting there. All right. Now, before I exit this and go back to the slides, I wanted to show off one more cool enhancement. This is something that happens to me all the time when I'm using Visual Studio, is I always end up with one particular project that takes, let's see, where is that particular web form? Did I lose it? I'm looking for, oh, I know why, because it was filtered. There we go. Add existing item. All right. Now if I don't just look for C-sharp files, there we go. All right. So I don't know how many of you guys have hit this, but every time I seem to be working through projects, there's always one file that pops up a ridiculous amount of errors, and it always obscures everything else that I'm trying to find. So in this particular example, I've opened up lots of warnings.html, and boom, 163 errors in my error list. Overwhelming. And the frustrating part about this is that as you're going through code and trying to find errors and warnings in the files that you should care about, they're obscured in here. So if I went and just, let's add a quick little warning. This is a warning in blackjack form. Hey, my error count went up to 218, but how am I supposed to find it? It's everywhere. It's hidden in this just mess of warnings and errors that we have in here. And in the past, some of you guys have just turned off error filtering altogether. But now, we offer some better ways to do this. First, you can search for it. So if I know I have an error in blackjack form, I can just type in black. It'll filter down to my error list to just that text. If I'm searching for a particular warning, let's say I want all the file not founds, all I have to do is start typing that and my error list filters. But we wanted an even better way to start filtering. What if we provided a filter that allowed you to just care about your open documents or just care about your current project? And so now, when I select this, all of these errors go away because I'm in blackjackform.cs and they're hidden from my project. I'm able to focus on the errors that I want without cluttering my tool window. And if I switch it over to open documents, they'll come back. But if I close this guy, you can see that we now build up this filtering capability. If I ever want to get back to those files, I can open them back up, or I can just turn off the filter, and I have the rest of my errors in my project as soon as I open this guy back up. All right. Let's go back to the slides. So we talked about a few things today. I'm going to just fly through this part really quickly. We talked about the Improved Solution Explorer. You saw search. You guys saw smart rename, collapse all, multiple instances, and the integration of a bunch of tool windows into a single tool window, class view, object browser, find all references. We have navigate to support and a few other ones as well. And one thing that I didn't mention that is probably important to most of you guys out there is you guys saw me demo it in C#. The best news is that we'll have full language parity between C#, VB, and yes, even C++ for this next version of Visual Studio. Also, VB call hierarchy, since we are now supporting parity across all the languages, something that we didn't have in the past was VB support for call hierarchy. That will be in vNext. For window management, you guys saw how we're streaming down the number of toolbar buttons that you guys have. You saw the improvements to floating tab wells, including arrow peak support and the ability to minimize to the taskbar. You saw the preview tab experience, which allows me to just focus on the files that I care about. Pin tabs, and something that I didn't demonstrate, but what we've moved the navigate backwards and forward button, we've actually moved to the left-hand side and made that dropdown a lot easier to use than the flyout menu of the previous version. And then finally, search and find. We have the streamlined quick find and replace. We have search in Solution Explorer, Toolbox, Error List. Team Explorer is another one where we have search. You guys might have seen that in the keynote or Cameron's foundational session. We have a reusable search control for all of you guys that are looking on adding search to your Visual Studio extension. we now have a search control that you guys can piggyback on and get the same UI functionality that we have in VS. We have scoping errorless to OpenDocs, current project, and current document. You guys saw the brand new feature IDE search, named TBD, but we've called it IDE search for now. Allows you to search menus, open documents, options. And finally, you guys saw the new add reference dialog. Now, the next part of my demo is going to be focused on performance. And like I said, we've had a whole team working on performance for this entire release. Some of our best developers have been working on four key areas of investment. One is overall responsiveness. And what I mean by that is not locking up Visual Studio when you're trying to open up a long dialog. So add reference or choose toolbox items in the past would always pop up, but it would just freeze Visual Studio. If you tried to click anywhere, it would turn a light gray, and a box would pop up saying Visual Studio is busy. I know you guys all hate that. I hate that. So one of the things we're really trying to do is move things off the UI thread so that Visual Studio vNext is much more responsive. We're focusing on long-running operations. This has to do with responsiveness, but it's also for things like build and debug. These operations that consume a lot of memory and a lot of time are trying to make those much, much faster. Memory utilization is something that we're looking at, trying to be a lot more frugal in how we address how we allocate virtual memory space so that Visual Studio becomes a lot more stable. And then finally, we're working on getting better feedback and telemetry. And I'll be talking a little bit about the Perf Watson tool that you guys can use to send us data so that we can try to figure out what the right places are to go and address. All right. Performance time. Oh, looks like my laptop went to sleep, so we'll let this guy boot up real quick. We are leveraging it for build processes, but Visual Studio is still a 32-bit application. All right. So, similar to the last story, what I have here is Visual Studio 2010 and Visual Studio vNext. And we're going to do some side-by-side comparisons between the two just to see what a build experience looks like. Now, I have the same solution opened up in both, two different locations so we don't stomp on each other. But this solution is what we've typically referred to as a medium-sized C# solution. It's got about 29 projects. It takes, you know, 50 seconds to build. We use this in our performance labs to start doing benchmark testing on Visual Studio. But let's take a look at the experience. I'll rebuild the solution, and immediately what you'll notice is that I have my spinning donut of death that pops up every time I start to build. And I can try to scroll down. I mean, you can actually see that it's trying to fake responsiveness, but it's a jittery experience. I'm not really able to do anything in this type of environment. Similarly, if I say I want to use this time to start browsing my solution, I want to use something like the object browser, well, while a build's going on, I don't have access to this information. So that doesn't really help me out that much either. So let's go ahead and cancel this and see what the experience is like in vNext. One of the big improvements that we've made is starting to move more things to a background thread, including build. So now, when I go and rebuild my solution, look at that, no spinning donut of death. And if I do something simple like just arrowing down in my editor, it's a smooth, scrollable experience. Editing is great. And if I want to use something like the object browser, since it's now being run on an out-of-proc build, I can open it up and I can use this time to start using my object browser, my class view, and other tool windows to get a good idea of what my solution looks like. All right, so we'll go ahead and cancel that and move on to virtual memory consumption. In order to get a clear picture, I'm going to just restart VS. Do I want to save? I added a comment. We'll get rid of it. All right, we'll reuse it. We'll reopen this up. And the next thing that I want to show you guys is VM usage in the product. So, you know, it's funny, even in the Q&A sessions that we had yesterday, a few people came up and said, Visual Studio crashes on me all the time, and mostly due to memory allocation failures. The main reason for that is that we load a lot of things in proc for VS. Every time you go and build, we start loading user DLLs into the main memory, and we can't release those when we're done with it because we don't know if you guys still need it, if the references are still there. And what happens is as soon as we start to try to allocate some of this memory, it ends up crashing Visual Studio when it fails on an alloc. So I'm just going to build, and I have this tool window here called build stats that monitors my VM usage throughout the product. And you can see that it's actually jumping around quite a bit. And what's happening here is Visual Studio needs its own DLLs to build, but we're also loading all of the user DLLs, all the projects, all the user controls that you guys have created into the VS process. And once it's done, we can't release those. You'll also notice that my project is building one at a time, even though I have more than one core on this. And this is because Visual Studio 2010 doesn't take great advantage of multi-proc build, even though MS Build has had this feature for quite a few releases. So we'll let this guy build, and when he finishes up, we'll take a look at the virtual memory usage, and then I'll go ahead and jump into VS vNext and do the same measurements. So I'm up to 217. This is a new record, actually. I haven't gotten this high before. And one thing that came up was we always ask people when they get crashes due to out-of-memory allocations, do you guys have extensions installed? Because extensions are actually competing for the same address space that Visual Studio is. So you know, there's a lot of extensions that use a lot of memory. And once you run out of memory address space, Visual Studio just becomes incredibly unstable. It might not look like a memory crash to you. It might look like something else. But more often than not, if you get up into that 1.5 gigabytes of virtual memory space, it's not gonna work well for you. All right. So what did I end up on? 226 megabytes. Let's rebuild the solution in vNext. Now, the first thing that you guys might immediately notice is that I'm building four projects at a time. One of the great new features in vNext is the ability to take advantage of multi-proc build. So if I go and open up build and run, you'll see a new option here that specifies the maximum number of parallel build projects to target. This will default to the number of cores you have on your machine, but if you want to set it to something a little bit smaller so that you can free up some of the CPU cycles to do something else, you are welcome to do that. But this should hopefully improve your build times dramatically. It's a great feature that we've added that allows you to serialize your build information over multiple processes. But the second thing is that we've moved build out of proc for C#. So now, instead of loading all of those user DLLs inside the Visual Studio process, we load them in a separate out of proc. We load them out of proc in a separate process, and when we're done, we can just get rid of it. We know we don't need it anymore. We just kill the process. And what we end up with is a lot less memory usage inside VS. VS becomes more stable. You guys are happier because it doesn't crash as much. You don't need to use auto recover as much. And look at the difference. We went from 226 megs down to 44 megabytes of virtual memory usage. Pretty cool, right? So that's just a taste of where we want to take vNext. We certainly are looking at a few other interesting scenarios for trying to improve performance. But that's just a quick little overview of some of the nice performance improvements that you guys should see in the next version of Visual Studio. All right, so I talked about responsiveness, long-running operations. We talked about background build. That's going to be supported for all languages, VB, C#, C++. This allows you guys to scroll down the editor, do whatever you want throughout your project. That should be available for everything. We talked about parallel multi-proc build. That should be available for projects as well. Memory utilization. Unfortunately, right now, we don't have VB support for out-of-proc build. It's something that we are looking to bring in the future with Roslyn. But we will have support for C#, and C++ has actually had this for a few releases. This should hopefully reduce virtual memory usage throughout the product. And then better feedback and telemetry, Visual Studio Perf Watson. Actually, let me go ahead and bring that up just so I can show you guys this. I don't have it installed, but on the Visual Studio Gallery page, it doesn't like to search, apparently. Actually, I know where I can find it. Is it just one word? Is that why I was missing it? Yeah. There we go. So Visual Studio Perf Watson, I encourage everyone to go and download this tool. It's just a simple application that runs in the background of Visual Studio. It shouldn't impact your performance at all. But every time we sense Visual Studio is lagging or the UI thread is unresponsive, we send some data to us. It's all anonymous, but it really helps us diagnose where the pain points are for you guys in your project. We've been using this internally for a very long time. It's really helped nail down specific scenarios that we know we need to improve. So please, if you guys get online, go to the Visual Studio Gallery. You can use the extension manager in the product as well. Download Perf Watson and start sending us that data. Just some related content. So Visual Studio team blog. I'm just going to leave this up there for you guys to go and grab these links later. I showed off the productivity power tools. We're continuing to receive feedback on the Pro Power Tools. They're a great feature. I love them. I actually can't even use VS 2010 without the Pro Power Tools. Please continue to guys to send us that feedback because we are looking at incorporating more of those into Visual Studio vNext. I showed you guys the color theme editor. If you don't like the blue background for VS, go ahead and change it to whatever you want. And I did talk about Perf Watson as well. Some other DevTrack resources that you guys can go grab afterwards. And then finally, please fill out an evaluation. It brings us back. I hope you guys enjoy the talk. I'm going to be sticking around to ask a few questions. I actually have some swag to give away as well. If we don't get rid of it, we have to take it back. We have to ship it back. So I have some very slimming double XL jackets and shirts that I need to give away. But Sure, just a second. But so I'll be sticking around to answer questions. Anything that I don't get to, I'm going to be in the Visual Studio 2010 IDE booth down in the TLC. Come grab me. Tell me if you liked what you saw today. Tell me what you didn't like, something else that I missed. You guys didn't see your favorite feature. Come talk to me. I'll be happy to answer anything else. Thank you guys very much. Hope you enjoyed it.